Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
Well, once again, here's part two of how moral intelligence affects mental health. Don't ever underestimate the importance of mental health. It is estimated, it's not estimated, it is factually stated by the National Institute of Mental Health that one in five, some say one in four, of Americans have mental disorders of some sort or another. Over 40 million have been tabulated just this past year. 41 million. That's a great percentage of the population. And that's only those who have been diagnosed. So mental health is really a big deal. So in part one, we learned how that moral intelligence produces mental health, and that Jesus is the source of moral intelligence. So we should be rooted in him, because as the root goes, so goes the fruit, right? But today I want to talk now about how moral intelligence directly affects mental health. So, here we go. Number one, I want you to make sure you get this in your notes. Mental health begins with the loving of God. He's the mentor. He's the one who knows what it's all about. So Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart," no half-hearted thing about God, "with all thy soul," probably your emotions, and look at this, "with all thy mind." The love of God affects your mind. If you don't love God, your mind will be affected adversely. Right? And that's why he said that this is the first and the great commandment. Now, he didn't tell us that for his own self-benefit. He's telling us that if we love him, because you know what? When you love him, you want to be like him, right? So you love him and you love his ways. People think that they can reject God without rejecting his ways, but they don't. When you reject God, you reject everything that's smart about God. That's not very smart, right? But loving God affects your heart, your emotions, and your thinking ability, your mind. It is the key, the first step to having mental health, to having loving God. Let's look at scripture. Now the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." The fool. Now, I often use this illustration. I hope I haven't worn it out with you, but here's a pen. And for somebody to look at the pen and say, "Hey, nobody made the pen. There's no pen maker." That person is a fool. To look at an automobile and say there was no manufacturer is crazy. To look at a creation and say there's no creator. To look at a piece of artwork and say there's no artist. To look at the design and say there's no designer is foolish. Now, the person who rejects God has a mental damage to start with that's going to keep on plaguing him rest of his life. The fool says in his heart, "There's no God." Now watch it, because this goes downhill from here. They become corrupt. Because when you reject God, no love for God, corruption sets in, because there's no restraining force. There's no moral compass, if you please. And watch this. They are corrupt, and they have done iniquity, narcissism. That's what iniquity is, the Bible word for narcissism. And the narcissist is the egocentric, everything is about me. And I do what I do because I want to do it, and no law of God is going to interrupt what I want to do because they have rejected God. Now, here's the problem they have, you see. Why do they reject God? Not because it's an intelligent thing to do, because to say there's no pen maker is really stupid, right? To say there's no creator is really stupid. So why do they do it if it's not intelligent? They do it because it's probably the same reason that a thief doesn't find a policeman. You know what I'm saying? Because he wants to do something that God is against, so he's only got two options. When a person wants to do something that God is against, here are the two options. One, say there is no God. Two, change your ways to comply with God. They don't want to do that. So they commit intellectual suicide. And they say there is no God. That requires deep foolishness. And it's driven, if you please, by this narcissism. And out of that, there's none that does good. So God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there's anybody, has anybody got the strength? Does there anybody understand? That's a really important thing. To understand means to be cognizant of the logic and the reason behind an instruction. And not just to know the instruction, it's to understand the logic behind it. And that's what moral intelligence is. Moral intelligence is having an understanding, which means to possess and be cognizant of the rationale and the logic behind God's instructions. So God looks down to see if there's any that, watch this, seek after him, that understand and that seek after God. Because if they really understood what God was like, they would seek him. Every one of them has gone back. Pardon me. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become, now watch this, what happens to the mind when you reject God? They become filthy. Not just morally, but in every way you can imagine. And what is the result of that? There's none that does good. Not one. And so God asks this rhetorical question. Have all the narcissists no brains? Do all the workers of iniquity have no knowledge? Do they have no clue? Can they not grasp what is morally intelligent? And of course, we understand this whole thing begins when the guy says there's no God. Look at one of the mental disorders. They were in great fear where there was no fear. That's called paranoia. So they're totally mentally disturbed at the rejection of God. In fact, when we talk about paranoia, look at this scripture. The wicked flee when no man pursues. But those who are morally intelligent are bold as lions. We got confidence. We go forward because we know you can't be successful in life by doing wrong. The wicked, here's a translation, the wicked are edgy with guilt, ready to run off even when no one's after them. Honest people are relaxed and confident, bold as lions. Oh my goodness. They are ready to run off, but nobody's chasing them. That's not schizophrenic. If that's not bipolar, if that's not, oh my goodness, paranoia. If that isn't mentally disordered. And where does it come from? It comes from rejecting God. So the first step towards moral intelligence is loving God, because he's so loving, so wise, smart, and every instruction of his is given for our benefit and not to spoil our fun. It's to make us better, to lift us up and not put us down, to encourage us, not discourage, to construct us and not destruct us. That's what God's like. That's why you should love him. Oh. And perhaps the reason why so many people don't love him is because they've been so misinformed about what he's really like. Because some of the caricatures of God these days, and how do those caricatures show up? They show up because instead of God making man in his image, men are trying to make God in their image. They think God is like them. And so they judge him like they would judge one another. But that's not what God is like. Holy, morally intelligent, loving, true, caring, and that way toward you. Now watch this, because after loving God as the foundation of mental health, it progresses. Mental health progresses from the love of God to genuine self-acceptance. You don't like yourself, you will never be mentally healthy. Ever. Now watch this. This is so important. How can you have self-acceptance? Genuine, for real. How can you really like yourself? It starts by this first point. Understanding that you were fathered by God. You're not an accident. You're not a clone. You're not a copy. You're an original. You're a first edition. You're not simply the product of some unknown passion in the middle of some couple's night. You're fathered by God. He wanted you here. Man and woman got together, it's going to be a baby. But people don't make people. God makes people. God puts the person inside the baby's body. Okay? That's why Jesus taught us this. After this manner, therefore, pray. Here's how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. You've got a fleshly father, for sure, but you're a real father, the father of the real you. And I'm going to show it to you in detail in a moment. It's God. He wanted you here now. So Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Now, before we just skip forward, watch this now. He said, when you pray, make sure you say, Hallowed be thy name. Whoa. Sacred, holy, hallowed. God being your Father ought to be a hallowed truth that grips your mind, that grips your heart, that possesses. Wow. God is my Father. In fact, just so you know that the scriptures teach this clearly, let's look at a few more scriptures. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Let's look at some more. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, look at this. Don't miss this. It is he that hath made us. And you should put your name. It is he that has made, and you put your name in there. That's really kind of important to grasp, that God fathered you. That's the first step to genuine acceptance of yourself, because you were originated by God. Second step, ready? How can you have general or genuine self-acceptance? By knowing that God fathered you and knowing that you are designed perfectly, personally, and specifically, different than everybody else, by God. Thou hast possessed my reins. This is my favorite portion of Scripture. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me. In my mother's womb. What was there? I should have told you probably. We got a book coming out shortly called Why You Were Born. Opening chapter. I'm tempted so much to quote from it right now. But you were there. Nobody else even knew you were there for days. Nobody saw you for 270 days. You were in that womb. But you weren't alone. God was there. God was there. Thou hast possessed my reins, the control of a horse by the reins. You were in possession of the real me. Now watch this. Because here's how you should respond to that. Just like David did. I will praise thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knows right well. I don't know. Can you do that? Can you say, oh God, can you look in the mirror and say, wow, did you ever do a good job on me, God? Let's go back to that scripture one more time. And David said, my soul knows it. My soul, my mind and my emotions, my whole being knows right well that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Talk about self-acceptance. My goodness sakes. This is delightful. Look at the next verse. My substance, the stuff I was being made out of, thick gelatinous material was flowing together to make me, whatever it was, right? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret of your mother's womb, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Oh my. You, fathered by God, and not only fathered by Him, but designed. Designed means He put you in the gender He chose for you. Designed. He gave you a specific disposition different than everybody else's. He gave you what I call ENA, embedded natural ability. One of the great secrets of life is to discover what is the embedded natural ability that God has placed in me. In the scriptures, in the King James, it's called gifts. He gave gifts to us. Well, in fact, we're going to come to that. So, I mean, I get ahead of myself. So you were fathered by God. You were designed specifically. And you need to know this. You were loved by Him, and you still are. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It doesn't come and go. Now, because He loves you, watch this now. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Wow, this is so wonderful. To think that God loves you so much that He draws you. That's why you want to spend some time in the silence, in the secret place, alone, except God's there. And you will feel Him drawing you closer because He loves you. Let's look at this. With loving kindness, He does this. No accusation, no pointed finger. And look what He says. And again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. Plainly, He's saying, just come like you are. I've designed you. I fathered you. I got the specifics on you. And I love you. And I want you I want you and I to be friends, to know each other. And if there's something wrong with you, and you think there is, he says, I will build you. I will build you, and you will be built. I'm going to help you construct your life to be everything it should be. And why does he do that? He does it because he loves us. Now, here's the one I got a little ahead of myself on. You're fathered by God, specified by God, loved by God. And look at this one. You are gifted by God. Thou hast received gifts for men, even for the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell among them. Next verse. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So you are gifted by God. Have you discovered it? Have you discovered your gift, your gifting? Do you know what's embedded naturally, ability-wise, in you? It's there. In fact, if you'll go to our website, lots of teachings on how to discover your personal gifting. Because when you discover your gifting, now you know how to live your life. You know why you think the way you think and act the way you act. And it affects your job, because you want to find a job where you do it naturally. It just then takes not the work out of it, the job, and now it becomes fun because you're just doing what you're made to do. So he loads us daily with benefits. In fact, the scripture says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassion towards you does not fail. And look at this. They are new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, this is so delightful. You're fathered by God. Personally designed all the details. You're loved by God. You're gifted by God. Are you ready for this? And you are never alone. Never alone. So Jesus says to you, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Wow. Never alone. Watch this now. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Look at this. Somebody who will never forsake you, right? So that we can boldly say, oh, the Lord's my helper. Watch some mental health in here. I will not fear what men will do unto me. No fear. Wow. Mental health begins with God, loving God, and progresses to genuine self acceptance. Before I leave this subject, because it's critical, I want you to understand that we must never compare ourselves with other people, or we'll lose track of us. If you try to be somebody else, who will be you? Huh? So that's why the scripture says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that are always commend. They're always boasting. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves are not wise. This is not a smart thing to do, because you'll lose track of you. So the scripture says, we will not boast of things outside of our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. Back to that embedded natural ability, right? Don't compare yourself with somebody else, or you'll develop one of two things, and both are mental illnesses. If you compare yourself with somebody else, you will either end up with an inferiority complex or a superiority complex, depending on who you compare yourself with. That's why You only want to compare yourself with Jesus, and you will not have an inferiority complex. He'll see to that. And you won't have a superiority complex. What you'll have is humility. Not pride, not humiliation, but humility. So, the second key, love God as the foundation. Progress to genuine self-acceptance. And this is probably a continuation, but I want you to see this. Because it is the rejection of oneself that causes self-destructive behaviors. So comes the scripture now. And don't you love that? The best part of anything I do in front of you is put the scriptures up there. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, let's make sure we get this. Instructing those that oppose themselves. What is somebody who opposes? Somebody who, this is the biblical description of someone who has self-destructive behaviors. And self-destructive behaviors are all around us today. They always begin mentally and emotionally, but they end up physically, often to the points of suicide even. So we must grasp that the rejection of oneself is a cause of self-destruction, which is a cause of mental illness, which is mental illness. So, we want to instruct them to see if God will give them repentance to acknowledging the truth. The truth. The truth we've just talked about need to be discovered by those who have self-destructive behaviors. They need to understand there's nothing broken that God can't fix. No disease he cannot heal. No mental disturbance that he can't calm. That's why they call him Savior. Truth. The truth about you and God are the only cure for self-destructive behavior. Now, if you remember that verse started us off with instructing those, that's our job, that's my job, that's your job, instructing people who are self-destructing. We need to instruct them, instruct people who are self-destructing, right? And here's the problem. Voltaire put it this way. Voltaire said, it is difficult to free fools from the chains they revere. And hence, that's why the need for truth. And then, we also understand from the scripture too, we instruct those that oppose themselves. Let me just go back here so we can see this again. So they can change, that's what repentance is, by acknowledging what is true, the truth about themselves, how they are loved by God, designed by God. And the purpose of this is so that we want to instruct them so that they can recover. Watch this now. Because Satan is who is really behind all self-destructive behaviors. It's a devil. God is good, the devil's bad. Watch this now. So that they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. He has tricked them. He's a liar. The truth is not in him. And they are taken captive by him at his will. It's the devil's doing. That is our problem. So we must instruct them to see if they will change by presenting to them the truth And we must also understand that the problem is the devil. That's why the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion going about, seeking whom he may devour. So what should we do? We have to resist him steadfast. Now watch this. In the faith. What faith? Faith in what we have just learned, that God loves you, that God fathered you, designed you, loves you, embedded you with all kinds of natural ability and has done you so well. So we have to resist the devil, because Jesus told us that Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his job, he thinks, is to steal from you right thoughts, to kill you, to destroy you any way he can. The conflict between good and evil is, well, obviously, it began eons ago. It's a cosmic war. But we're fighting it still. And Satan, the personification of evil, wants to destroy you. And that's why Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill. But watch what Jesus said. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He cares about your mental health. Now, I'm going to propose to you a project before I give you my final point. Let me tell you how I learned to study Scripture. I developed what's called a SPA, S-P-A, stands for Scripture, Principle, Application. And when I'm sitting here with you, all I'm doing is doing the Scripture, the principle, and the application, right? And so I go through the Bible on, you take a subject like friendship and go through the Bible, find all the Scriptures on friendship, look at the Scripture, state the principle, and how does it apply to you? And that, well, you really got it together when you can go Scripture, principle, application on every subject that touches your life. Marriage, trouble, problems, you name every area of your life. Business, money. If you can go Scripture, principle, application, search through the Scriptures under those topics. You know, that's why the Scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? Rightly dividing all the truth up into categories to grasp and understand each subject. Well, like friends, Scripture, principle, application. So I'm going to give you a project similar to that. And what I'd like you to do is take a sheet of paper. You might need quite a number of them, actually. And make three columns like this. And in the first column, I want you to write the instruction that comes from God. It will always be morally intelligent. You can count on it, right? So you're going to write that scripture out in this column, okay? And then in the next column, I'm going to call it the moral intelligence understanding. Write in your own words the rationale behind the moral intelligence. What is the intelligence behind the moral? So you've got God's instruction. Now we want to understand why it's so smart. What is so smart about loving somebody instead of hating them? What is so smart about, if your enemy's hungry, give him something to eat? Or if he's thirsty, give him something to drink? What's so smart about that? So again, you put the scripture, the instruction here. And then over here, you write out your understanding. And then the third column, I want you to write here how that affects mental health. Now, if you do this project, what's going to happen is that some of the instructions over here, and when you get to understand them, are going to not just show you how you have mental health, but how it prevents mental illness over here. What a great project to do. Get a whole binder and learn to go like I did, scripture, principle, application. The instruction is the scripture. The principle is the moral intelligence understanding of it. And then what's the application? How does it affect my mental health? What a great project. Well, let me conclude with one last point. Following the Lord means thinking like He thinks. Remember the Isaiah passage, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, saith the Lord. His thoughts are so higher as the heavens are above the earth. How high are the heavens? Well, the first galaxy is 200,000 light years away. Take the speed of light of 7.5 times around the world, and the second times the number of seconds in a year. That's the distance light travels in 1 year. 7.5 times around the world in a second, times the number of seconds in a year, times 200,000 years. That's the closest galaxy to us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And He says this promise, so is my word that goes forth out of my mouth to you. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper. And the thing we're not saying, but let's go back to the point. Here's the risk. Do not be conformed to the world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your thoughts, so that you can prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Get it? Do not be conformed to the world. Don't think like everybody around you thinks. Well, I says, don't. One translation that J.B. Phillips think it was this: don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, its way of thinking. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Keep your mind filled with the truths that are morally intelligent that will always produce mental health. So, here are the thoughts that God wants you to think. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I mean, He wants you happy, 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 right? So, it's important to find something to be happy about. And the thing to be happiest about is God. And you will be, watch, you will be mentally healthy. Look at this translation. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the Master is about to arrive and they could show up any moment. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle down upon you. And it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, watch this. I'll say you do your best by, look at this now, filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, that are noble, that are reputable, that are authentic, compelling, gracious, and best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Now, let's go to the King James on this. Finally, my brethren. Now, this is really important. Look at this. Finally, my brethren, think on these things. Now, here's the keys, well, some of the keys to mental health. Watch this now. Because following the Lord means thinking the way he thinks. So here's how he wants you to think. Finally, my brethren, think on these things. Here is the agenda for your thought life. Okay? Now watch here. Here it goes. Whatsoever things are true, you want to make sure that what you're thinking is true, not fictitious, not a guess, not anything but the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you think about what's true. Number two, is it honest? It must not just be a true thought, it must also be an honest thought. And not only honest, but it must be just. This is morally intelligent. Honesty is morally intelligent. Honesty is the best policy. And it must be just. And look at this. Whatsoever things are pure, you want to think pure. Why? Because one scripture says, to the pure, all things are pure. If you're pure in thought, then when you look at something, you'll see it with that purity. But to the defiled, mentally defiled, everything is defiled. Whoa, really important. Let's get back to this now. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Imagine how mentally healthy you will be. If everything you think is thinking about something that's lovely, wow, instead of the ugly stuff of the news, well. Speaking of the news, whatsoever things are a good report. I mean, the bad reports are going to get to you eventually. So God's saying, I want you to think on stuff that's good report. And then he says, if there be any virtue in it, or any praise, think on these things. How important is this to you? And so I want to go to one last portion of scripture that probably most people memorized. And here it is. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not under the counsel, in the counsel of the ungodly. Those are people who don't know anything about God, don't love God, don't do what they say. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of God. He doesn't stand around with sinners because of the law of association, right? Or sit in the seat of the scornful or bad-mouthing everybody. But instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, the ways of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Just day and night, day and night, day and night. Now look what happens. And it should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now watch this. And it will bring forth fruit in its season. Your leaf also shall not wither. And everything you do will prosper. Everything you do will prosper. Absolutely everything will prosper. And that's why I want you to be sure to go to nothingbutthetruth.org. And get the details, more details on this subject. And there you'll discover the curriculum. We just gave a brief outline of it now. 10 parts on the curriculum, training your brain, training your thinking. You'll discover how to maintain mental illness, mental health is not something just take it for a moment. You want to stay with it all the time, right? You'll also learn how gratefulness has a tremendous impact upon mental health. You can also learn, the video is there, just put one of these words in the search and you'll find it, how to end the greatest mental disorder of all. Thank you for spending this time with me. I want you to know how important you are. There's nobody like you. You're not a copy or a clone. A first edition, rather. You are a first edition. There's nobody like you. You are indispensable. Nobody can ever take your place. Don't try to be somebody else. Love God. Mental health starts there. Get genuine self-acceptance. Follow these basic steps. You'll be stable in all your ways, and everything you think will be healthy. And you can take that mental health to others, instructing those that oppose themselves. I pray that this will be a blessing to you, and that you in turn will be able to instruct people with self-destructive behaviors, that they may recover under the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, because you bring to them the truth. I pray that for you. In Jesus' name.